there's a repeal, of course, of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We've been talking about that a lot from over the weekend. Will there be a ratification of the new START Arms Reduction Treaty with our woman on the scene? Man, she is the best. The Bureau Chief for Talk Radio News Service, Ellen Ratner, joins us. Ellen, what's the scoop on START? What's going on? It started this morning,
of course. It looks like they're going to have the 60-person cloture vote tomorrow morning. The cloture vote, or the 60 votes necessary to bring a bill to the floor. Once they bring a bill to the floor, it might happen the same way that Don't Ask, Don't Tell did. Don't Ask, Don't Tell originally had 6 senators that voted for cloture, and then what happened? 8 senators miraculously appeared on the scene. Same thing. They do have the 60 votes necessary to get to cloture. They need 67 votes to approve it as a treaty. It looks like who they've got is Corker of Tennessee, Voinovich of Ohio, Cochran of Mississippi, Brown of Massachusetts, Lugar, Stowe, Collins, Johnny Igason, I'm not pronouncing his name, of Georgia,
sure.
Bennett of Utah, and Kirk, perhaps of Illinois. That brings it up to 10, and perhaps Murkowski, and that might just get them to the 67 they need.
Wow. You know, I mentioned the two other things that happened, and hey, I said this before, I'm one of the people that have covered politics for a long time and made fun of the whole lame duck thing. You're there. You've been covering politics for a long time. Are you surprised that all this stuff has happened?
I'm actually shocked, and I was in the chamber most of Saturday when both the DREAM Act went down and also Don't Ask, Don't Tell actually passed. And it was quite an interesting day. It was interesting. The DREAM Act kids, when it was clear that they had the cloture vote to get the DREAM Act voted and therefore to pass, because all it would need was a simple majority, the DREAM Act kids were crying. It was very, very sad. But then they silently sort of clapped when it passed. And so it was very clear that even though they weren't, it was not their moment in the sun, they were supporting others.
Yeah, no kidding. What's the buzz like? Because as I said, you're there, you're talking to people. What's it like as far as the transformation? You know, you're going to have this transfer of some of the power shift and some leaving, like Feingold, of course, leaving. What's the mood around the Capitol?
Well, the news is that Boehner is going to come in, and the first thing they're going to try and do is talk about saving money, and redoing the budget. And then what's going to happen, of course, is that you have a lot of the blue dogs are the guys that are out of there.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have a very more liberal to left Democratic Party. You have a very Tea Party-oriented new members of Congress. It's going to be a very interesting juxtaposition. It'll be interesting whether anybody reaches across the aisle. Whether it's going to be a Kennedy or a Hatch kind of deal at any point, I don't know.
Yeah, it should be interesting. When do things wrap up? What does it look like, the end of the week, right?
Well, I think the president is going to be doing his Don't Ask, Don't Tell signing. He's actually doing it at the Department of Interior. I believe he's doing it at 9:30 Eastern time on Wednesday. Probably will leave shortly thereafter to meet his family for Christmas. And again, in terms of the cloture vote and the actual vote on the START treaty, it depends whether they go for all these hours of debate or whether they forgo it, knowing that it's not going to happen and they actually have the deal to happen. Now, also, John McCain is saying she's going to repeal the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And he has about as much chance of that as you and I do of becoming president of the United States.
Thanks, Ellen. All right, Ellen Ratner, I love that. Talk Radio News Service, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Up where Ellen left off, and of course about the START negotiations and whether or not they're going to go into the debate on this, Russia paying close attention to what's happening, of course eyeballing everything as to whether or not there are going to be any changes to the limitation treaty that was signed by Barack Obama and Dmitry Medvedev in April, and if so, it probably kills the pact. What do you say? Are you concerned about, I think I'm concerned about some of the issues in here, like the defense missile system, because I'm sorry, if it's 10-1, I just don't like those odds. I don't care if everybody says we're living in a different world. We're not living in that different of a world, let me tell you. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, and as I said, we're picking up on the thread from D.C. You know how we roll here. We zig and zag all over the place. And you want to throw in your two on START or any of the things that have happened with this lame duck Congress, feel free to dive in at 800-259-5791 or shoot me an email at americatonight.net. And actually the warning came from the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov's warning in an interview with a news agency as the White House is pressing down for that ratification, which I don't think they're going to be able to pressure hard enough or fast enough to make this happen. Mitch McConnell's digging his heels in and says he's not going to let loose on this one. But if there is enough, there's enough, and that's the thing. Are there the extra votes, or the Republicans like Scott Brown, who said he is going in that direction? Are there enough of them? You heard Ellen point out, rattle off the various senators who would throw in on it. So I still say and thought that it wasn't going to happen. However, if there is enough pull, if there is enough for the 67, because you got the 100, so she's right, you got to have the 67. If there's enough for the 67 and they sign on the dotted line, I think it'd be a mistake based on some of the tenets of this agreement. Now, it's not binding, but are you going to go back after signing this agreement with Russia and say, oh, you know that START thing? We didn't like the idea about the defense missile systems. We didn't like that we weren't allowed to have XYZ. We realize that you have 10 to 1 as far as nuclear warheads are concerned. So, you know, I got one, you got one. What's the difference? Yeah, the stockpile on our side is shrinking maybe a little bit too much compared to yours. You know, you get rid of all yours, you think we're going to get rid of all of ours? It just doesn't work that way. And look at what happened even this year. We talk about big stories. That's something we're going to do on this Hour of America Tonight. By the way, looking back on 2010, remember the Russian spies and the big breakup in New York, catching a lot of these spies who were living among other folks in New Jersey, had kids, were doing the suburban thing, and yet they were spies, just assimilating. So trust me, the Cold War might be over, but still, that idea of keeping your enemies close, yeah, you still want to keep them close. Now, the New START Pact, if it was ratified, would commit, I've said this a couple of times, but I've gotten some questions about this, it's simply a numbers game, it would commit the United States and Russia to cutting the deployed nukes, the weapons, by about 30%. So if you do the math on that, it would be no more than 1550 within 7 years. Both would agree, they would lock in on that. So if it's ratified, there's not a guarantee, but that's what the number would be. Because remember, it's technically non-binding. Russia and NATO agreed to cooperate on missile defense, however, at that summit last month. But Moscow has warned over and over and over again that if they are, see, this is the thing, if they are dissatisfied, as they put it, with the alliance's plans for European shield and the role that it offered, that they were going to back out of this, that's the non-binding part. Get it? All right, we've just scratched the surface. Meet me on the flip side, and we'll fill in all those blanks.
What if you could enjoy a refreshing cigarette without worrying about your health? Great news! Now you can enjoy everything you love about a cigarette without everything you hate. It's called the VaporMate e-cig, and it's made by Smokeaway, so you know it's good. VaporMate utilizes patented microelectronic technology that mixes rich tobacco flavor with harmless water vapor. It tastes like a cigarette, smokes like a cigarette, and best of all, it calms you down like a cigarette should. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you your VaporMate e-cig kit valued at $129 free. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking and coughing. Just the great flavor and calming sensation of a real cigarette you can smoke anywhere. Claim your VaporMate when you get your tobacco flavored filters free. A $129 value, yours free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But you must call now.
Call 800-540-7570. That's 800-540-7570. Again, 1-800-540-7570. Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley-C. Why Alley-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley-C. For more information and to order Alley-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley-C today.
The topping odds and ends. Wet weather, Brett Favre, done for good. And this game against the Bears, just a laugher, and not a laugher in the sense that he got hurt, but a laugher in the sense that there was no real game there leading up to the hype of where they were going to play and where they played and all that, and we're going to get to that in a second. And, of course, we kick things off talking about what has been happening with this lame duck Congress, that all of a sudden there's this flurry to make things happen, including the START Treaty. And depending on your point of view, it's pretty black and white, thumbs up or thumbs down. I don't see how you can stand on the fence on this one. Either you think, okay, listen, we're going to throw in with the Russians on this number, on this amount. We're not going to worry about the defense shield so much. We're going to just focus on let's down with nukes. Let's get rid of the nukes. We're trusting them. We've had the meetings. We've gotten to know Russia a little bit better, and we feel like this is the right thing to do. And if we lead by example, perhaps, then the nutballs who might get a hold of a nuke might think twice. Wrong. Sorry. I don't think the nutballs, because that's my concern. My concern is Ahmadinejad. My concern is some rogue would-be terrorists, whatever group he hails from, actually gets the technology somehow, is armed, and decides he's going to use that weapon, just like in the movies, but only this time it would be real. That's the bigger concern. And I don't think leading by example, I don't think that leads by example. That's not going to change some jihadist idiot who wants to blow up some part of the world. Might not be the United States, might be where you happen to be living. But regardless, to me, the START Treaty does need a little bit of review. And to just rubber stamp it, even if it's non-binding, because it could come back to bite them in the rear end, I think, bite the U.S. in the rear end, I think that there should be more consideration, if nothing else, for it. Now, what's happened is the Democrats are challenging some of the arguments against the pact. The top Republicans are saying, whoa. We got this vote set for Tuesday. We have time winding down. And we have these dramatic speeches taking place because it's the end of the end. And you got to be kidding me when you say, after this closed-door session, that we're going to be able to push this forward, feel that 1550 is the right amount, and not worry so much about the shields, right? I'm going to say it is deeply flawed, that theory. And national security still has to be on the radar. Doesn't matter if you're beatnik, peace-loving, let's sing kumbaya, and if we would all just do that, the world would be a better place, and trust me, they won't shoot us in the back. That's not happening. The reason a lot of us can sleep at night is because there's somebody who is willing to tackle that issue, and it's a tough one. But there's no way that we can take our eye off the ball. Having said that, you have guys like Scott Brown, the Republican senator from Massachusetts, saying he's going to support it. You have Senator Lugar throwing in as well from Indiana. And there are some Republican backers. There may be 67 to make this thing happen. I think they should delay the vote until January when they have a chance to have broken it down a little bit better. Now, who is the deflector from the administration? That would be Robert Gibbs. And like raw meat to the lions, he threw it out to the media, saying that how can you argue against some of the specifics in the treaty and at the same time complain that they haven't had time to read the text? He says it's one or the other, but it can't be both. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So he was challenging more of the comments that were made by the Senate Minority Leader McConnell and also probably John Kyle of Arizona, who flat out said he was going to oppose it, that there's no way he would sign it because he was uneasy or pass it because he was uneasy about the whole idea of the treaty and trying to get a vote by Christmas, the whole let's jam it down everybody's throat. So under Senate rules, like I said, you got to have a two-thirds majority to make it pass. So 67 votes. If they get the 67, it happens. And again, I think that the problem is that what you have to ask yourself is, can the treaty be improved? And if it's signed the way it is, you know, here's the thing. If it's signed the way it is, you've already got my skinny on this. What is it that we're missing out of it after this cloture motion, which is just a procedural step in the Senate to set up the vote? What is it that we're missing in this that could hurt us in the long run? Or am I dead wrong on this? You know, somebody who looks at this through different eyes would say, well, listen, this will help reverse nuclear proliferation. It'll make it harder for terrorists. How can you think that'll make it harder for terrorists to get their hands on a nuclear weapon? And so delaying it is not helping anyone. But according to everything that I've heard from all the people we've had on the show who wear different political stripes, you know what? You can dress it up however you want to dress it up, but the terrorism threat is there, and it's not going away because of destroying some more of the stockpile and coming up with an agreement with Russia. That's not happening. Speaking of not happening, it's probably a done deal that we have seen the last of Brett Favre forever, unless he decides to come back next year. It certainly is not looking that way. And the Bears blew out the Vikings 40-14. Rough year for Vikings fans, 5-9, if you want to know just the numbers on it. But the key thing here is, as far as Brett Favre is concerned, he ended up hurting himself. Remember, heading into this, we were talking about how it was going to feel like concrete at the University of Minnesota where they were playing and how crazy it was because this is an old-time field, so it doesn't have some of the things like the heaters underneath that you would have in a modern facility. So it was rough right out of the gate for Favre, and then you just went down the bench for the Vikings. Matt, obviously you're a Vikings fan. We talk about football a lot here with Nail the Score and whatnot. Favre, he's done. He's not going to come back as a Viking, right?
I would be extremely surprised if that happened. He's giving a live press conference right now,
And so during this break, I'll kind of check in on that and see if there's any news, if he maybe is saying he's done or saying he's going to be a miracle man and come back again. But the way he looked, he actually looked decent in that first quarter, but after seeing him just slumped on the turf after getting hit, and it's going to be one hit a game that knocks you out, you should not be playing anymore.
Yeah, he's already done it. He's been to the show. He's gotten the Super Bowl ring. He doesn't have anything else to prove. He's got ginormous numbers. He's a Hall of Famer. I say it's just time to go fishing or hang out or be a guest in the booth or do a sports radio show or whatever he might do. Kick back and spend some time with his family. Something other than actually go and play football doesn't make any sense. For the people living on the West Coast, I checked in with one of my best buddies today, and she was telling me how awful it was in Los Angeles. The fact that the worst weather has not even hit yet, but you've got not just mudslides. Sure, you have mudslides, but the flooding is hitting all kinds of California neighborhoods. They're literally drowning in a wall of water that started last Friday and has not stopped and is continuing all the way up. It's supposed to continue until Thursday. Oof. So it's warm weather, warm rain, almost like a tropical rain that is slammed into California. But the key thing here is, you know, rain is nice when it comes down once in a while, but when it's a steady stream for almost a week, whew, you know that you're going to have problems. And they're having lots of problems, traffic problems, mudslides a given, flooding problems in some of the places where normally they wouldn't even have anything like a flood. Now suddenly it's tough to even get down into some of the neighborhoods. So the people in California, I feel for you. I know what that is like. And certainly ask the people in Nashville what happened to them, not expecting that it was going to be that bad. And there's not much you can do other than flee. Other than get out of there and not have your car turn into a floating barge where you're hoping you're going to make it out of wherever it is that you've fallen into a dire situation. But how many inches are they going to have when it's all said and done? They're talking about busting all kinds of records. Speaking of records, it was a rough year financially. There were some sad records that were broken. We're going to talk with one of my favorite financial advisors as we kick the can down the road here on ATN.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. So our next guest, who is sitting in our virtual green room, has what has been called the most depressing job of 2010. What do you think the most depressing job of 2010 was? If you were saying to yourself, financial advisor, ding, 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 give yourself a pat on the back. That's exactly it, which I don't understand why, because I think there's going to be a big bounce back. He's always got a great attitude, and he's always got some sound advice for us, so we thought it'd be fun to have him on the show. Jeremy Lauder, financial advisor from Quad Wealth. Thanks for popping on. We appreciate it.
Hey, Kate, how are you?
Hey, you know, you heard me say that introduction about that financial advisors had the most depressing job of 2010. Is that because everybody was ringing your phone off the hook saying, please, please, Jeremy, help me win the lottery. Do something. Do something. Is that why? Because of the rock and roll nature of how the economy was this past year?
Well, you know, I have to correct you really quick, though. I think the member of Congress would actually be worse than more financial advisors out there. But anyway. For a lot of advisors out there right now, and quite frankly, for the last several years, it's been a pretty tough job if you've been, you know, stock market based, and a lot of the advisors out there are, and it's been pretty difficult because people have been calling and asking, what the heck do I do with my money? You know, a lot of people in 2008 lost a tremendous amount of their money, and some of that has been recovered, but you know, going forward, it's kind of dicey. I'll be honest, our firm. Our positions when it comes to investing are definitely outside of the stock market right now in what we call alternative types of investments. And for those of you that are listening, I mean, there are great opportunities out there. I mean, this is kind of the good thing out of all of this. There are great opportunities out there, but it's not what is typical and what most people are investing in. You know, it's different. It's alternative. And that's kind of where we've been focused very heavily for the last several years.
So, okay, when you sit somebody down and you tell them that alternatives, how do you break them in? How do you get people to understand some of the things you're trying to get the client to see? Because we keep talking about stocks, you talk about gold, there's solid things that people know about and think about in their brain and they see every single day if they pick up the Wall Street Journal or whatever it is. So you have to get people to expand their knowledge, right?
Excuse me, you really do. You know, the problem is that we're kind of taught and we're kind of molded based on, you know, our parents, based on our sphere of influence, you know, people that are around us and, you know, what, you know, what most people do tends to be what we do, you know, and those people that are around us. Excuse me. And unfortunately, you know, I always kind of take a step back and say, okay, well, you know, 95% of Americans aren't wealthy, okay? And 5% of Americans are. And so what a lot of times I see is that what 95% of Americans are doing, trying to become wealthy, never get them there. However, that's kind of what's common. So the first thing that I tell people is, look, you know, a lot of times if you're presented with something that, that maybe isn't, you know, common, so to speak, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, you don't want to be the majority in that equation. You definitely want to be the minority. And wealthy people, they do things differently. You know, they own businesses. They, you know, they own real estate. They do things that are off the beaten track a little bit that, you know, quite frankly, I think most people should welcome a different strategy out there. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, look at your statements. I mean, if you're not happy with what your investment statements, you know, no matter how many people are doing what you're doing, if you're not happy with the road that you've been on the last, you know, especially several years, if not really the last 10 years, you got to make a change. And so when we work and we talk with, you know, with a new client, I mean, that's kind of the first thing you have to understand is that, look, you know, just because some things are a little different doesn't mean that's a bad thing. You don't necessarily want to be in the crowd, if you know what I mean, if things aren't going well. You know, you definitely want to be different.
Now, so, and when you talk about real estate, when you talk about investing in real estate, I think there's also a misnomer out there that you have to have a ton of money already. That's not necessarily true, is it?
Well, it always helps. I mean, in fairness, but at the end of the day, you don't. I mean, there is lending out there. I mean, it's definitely difficult. Don't get me wrong, but there are banks that are lending, and there's areas that you know, I look in Dallas and Fort Worth, for example, kind of our backyard is phenomenal for a lot of different real estate investments. And you know, whether you're looking to get cash flow or whether you're looking to buy properties at a big discount, you know, for example, from a bank, if you buy a foreclosure and get a great deal, those deals are out there in abundance right now. But I will say that a lot of markets aren't like here. So as a real estate investor, don't get caught up in, you know, in what market you live in or really, you know, what you see on the news. Look at different markets that are actually doing well compared to the rest of the country, and definitely Dallas and Fort Worth and a lot of other areas in Texas are doing very well. And you can just have some great success if you structure things properly when it comes to building wealth and also getting cash flow if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Where do you stand on, somebody was telling me the other day, really take a look at municipal bonds, because this might be some of the best fixed income returns that you'll see in 2011. Do you think that's true?
No. I don't know if you saw the story last night by chance. It was just last night, literally on 60 Minutes, talking about the next financial meltdown, and it was completely geared around municipal bonds. Did you watch that by chance?
I did.
Okay. Well, muni bonds, me personally, it would probably be the last place on this planet that I would put any kind of money. I mean, I hope that doesn't ruffle any feathers out there, but, you know, I even on our website, you know, Kate, we launched launched a blog post that had this story done by 60 Minutes, and I think it was incredibly well written, very educational, and it really just talks about what other people aren't talking about. You know, sometimes we kind of have the, you know, as individual investors, we kind of have the curtain put in front of us, and we don't always see behind it. And sometimes, you know, when it comes to different types of strategies out there, it's very difficult for the average investor to see through that curtain or see around it or over it or through it. And the 60 Minutes video that was done last night talking about municipal bonds and all of the reasons why in the next probably year a lot of defaults are going to occur when it comes to these municipal bonds is definitely something, in my opinion, investors should shy away from.
Yeah, do you think – well, obviously you do. When somebody comes to you – it depends on also strategy depends on your age. If somebody's in their late 20s versus they're in their late 40s versus they're, you know, younger or older on that side of the spectrum, it is a little bit different, isn't it, how you tweak what you would advise them to do?
I think it's what I would tweak isn't risk. And a lot of times people think, oh, well, you know, you're younger. You're only 20 years old. And yeah, you can take risks and don't worry about if the market goes down or goes up or whatever. You can take risks. I actually disagree with that. You know, if you look at somebody that's 20 years old that puts money away and they have a major drop in the market, you know, or their investments, like what happened in the stock market in 2008, that exponentially has a huge effect down the road. If you look 30, 40 years you know, they could have been earning additional money if they wouldn't have taken that massive drop. But that's kind of the typical way of people thinking. Well, you know, if you're young, you can take a lot of risks and don't worry about it if you lose money. And if you're older, you know, maybe you're 65, you definitely don't want to take any risks. I take the position that, you know, nobody, whether you're young or old, should be putting money into anything that doesn't have a comfortable risk level, period. And that being said, there is a difference of what people younger versus older should be investing in when it comes to growth and or income. You know, from a risk perspective, I look at it as all being equal. But from a growth or income perspective, those two different types of people need different things. Somebody that's 20 or 30 or 40 or is working doesn't necessarily need income from their investments, so they should be growth-oriented, and also vice versa. When you get to a certain point in your life where you start to look for income coming from the money that you saved, that's a different type of strategy. But I'm a big risk guy. I can't emphasize enough how much risk should be the most important part, regardless of if you're young or old, versus a rate of return. I mean, a lot of times people kind of get that backwards, especially in the media. There's a lot of different types of people. Oh, don't worry about it. If you're young, you can take a lot of risk. I completely disagree.
Yeah, very good. And you have something with Quad Wealth. You, when you're either educating a person or if it's a bunch of financial planners, you actually have a system because you think you need to have the tools. And that's what you and I talked about a little bit before. You have a what you call a rate system, or an RATE system. Give us a little glimpse into that. What does that mean?
Well, when it comes to wealth management or financial planning, you can, those names kind of go hand in hand. There's four main areas that people should have in an overall plan. And a lot of times people are just focused on one, and I don't even think most people are really doing that effective of a job even at that. But there's four areas that you need to build wealth, to also sustain that wealth for a lifetime, and also to pass that wealth on to people that you care about, when you pass away. And in order to do that as effectively as possible, we feel there's four areas that you have to have going at one time in order to get from 0 to 60 in as quick of amount of time as possible. And we look at the first part of the rate system as being retirement income generation. And that's whenever you retire or get to a point in your life when you need to get income from your assets, maximize the amount of income that you can get, because different investments have different forms of income streams. The second part of the rate system is the asset accumulation quadrant, or second part, and that's geared around building assets effectively throughout your life until you convert them into income, which is the first part. The third thing is what we call tax planning, and the fourth part of the rate system stands for estate planning and/or asset protection. So these are the components that you should have in an overall plan. And most people out there, I kind of compare this to a four-cylinder engine. If you don't have all four cylinders going, you're not going to go very fast. And it's kind of like that in financial planning as well. You have to have all these components because they go hand in hand with one another. And if you're missing some of those pieces of the puzzle, you're not going to get where you want to go nearly as fast. And quite frankly, most people out there don't have the time, to spare. it's important to have all these areas going so they can accomplish as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, so that's what you see. Usually somebody has maybe a couple of them, and they think they're doing okay by the time they get to you, and they don't even realize the rest of it. Like you said, the other part is leaving money to your family, too, by the way, when you have it.
Well, it's interesting. I've literally run into people and met with people that are very wealthy. I mean, they have substantial net worths, and they don't even have an updated will, or even a will that is even done at all. And the last thing you want your beneficiaries and kids and grandkids to deal with is you not having a properly structured estate plan, and all of a sudden something happens to you and you're not prepared for that. The next thing you know, you've got the estate dealing with your estate, and that's the last thing you want to deal with. It's a mess. Not even to mention the taxes that are getting ready to happen on estates on estates coming next year. It's a mess, and if people were just to spend a little bit of money to work with the right estate attorney, they can save their family a tremendous amount of heartache and also give them a lot more money than otherwise they would get if you didn't have one.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeremy Lauder, quadwealth.com. Check it out. Thanks, Jeremy.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula. and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Fun to look back at what happened in the previous year. You know, you look back and then you move forward. I always say is I'm not much for looking back because that's the reason why the window is small in the back of your car. You want to look forward. Keep looking forward. The more you look back, I think the more time you waste. But it is fun to look back when we're talking about top stories of the year in 2010, because it was a crazy year. It was a crazy year for breakups and nonsense from Tiger Woods and his wife, Lynn Norgren, or the case of Sandra Bullock and Jesse, whatever his name is. I can't remember his name now. Jesse the Snake, the tattooed man, which I don't care that he has tattoos, but he acted like he was just right there by her side, and then in the end, once again, she gets an Academy Award, and she's thanking the man in the crowd, but Jesse James, the man in the crowd, was involved in a big, wild cheating scandal. But that's Hollywood garbage. There were other things from the pure entertainment sense, I think, that were interesting. The buzz over movies is big. We do our cheap movie review each and every week here on America Tonight. But truly, for me, I do like movies. I like to kick back and watch all kinds of movies, off-the-wall stuff, avant-garde stuff, sports-related things, documentaries. You know, I'm like the potpourri. I'll just spin the wheel and pick whatever it is, and if it's really, really awful, of course, I won't continue to watch it. But if it's halfway decent or really good, I'm going to get sucked into it. It's my way to chill, besides go hit a golf ball or whatever. So movies are big, and I know a lot of you listening, you're driving the truck right now, haven't seen a movie in a while, you're thinking, man, I would love to kick back, sit back with a cold one and just watch a good flick instead of this mindless tube when I'm tired and I'm on the road or I just come back. And that's why we do the cheap movie review. Avatar got massive buzz. Avatar was the big movie, the blockbuster. James Cameron again on top, and he had taken forever to make this movie, and it was in his head for half of his life, and there was controversy over it, and there were interesting twists on what was this movie all about. But Avatar was certainly the movie that everybody at least knew about. And a lot of people went to go see it, millions. Blockbuster numbers for Avatar. And it's still running. People are getting the DVD sets and the characters, and probably Christmas it'll still be pretty big on a lot of lists. So here's a slice of Avatar.
You're not in Kansas anymore. You're on Pandora.
Yep, you're on Pandora. First, I had to figure out the whole Avatar thing. What's the Avatar all about? Not like the cartoon Avatar, right? Yep, Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, Sigourney Weaver, and you know the deal. But if it's a paraplegic Marine, gets to go to the moon, Pandora, on a crazy mission, becomes torn between following his orders and protecting the world. And some say there was another agenda to the whole Avatar deal. But, personally, I thought it was okay. I thought it was an okay movie. There was so much hype that I almost didn't want to see it. That probably was part of my problem. Now, the movie I really did like, which also got a lot of buzz, but it was a more of an independent kind of flick, was one called Hurt Locker. And Hurt Locker ended up winning Best Picture and just incredible accolades. And here's a little bit of Hurt Locker.
How many bombs have you disarmed?
873.
873?
You're a wild man. Do you know that?
Yeah, Hurt Locker. Catherine Bigelow directed it. The ex-wife of James Cameron. She ended up winning Best Director. Jeremy Renner was in it. I think he's good. He's in a movie called The Town now. I like his part in that with Ben Affleck, but he's good in his part of it. And The Hurt Locker, like I said, won all kinds of awards, and it was about war, what it was like, the cat and mouse game and the chaos of being right in the thick of it. And it was an army bomb squad unit that came together in this horrible, tragic way, in this horrible, tragic city in a far, far, far away land, obviously simulating what Afghanistan or Iraq would be. Television-wise, Mad Men once again claimed high honors. I love Mad Men. I mean, it's, as soon as I hear the familiar theme, check it out. Have you heard this theme? Bona, bona. We're going to crank it up. Listen. Yeah, do yourself a favor. If you didn't see Mad Men and you want to get into something that's really juicy, really funny, you'll pick up a lot of 60s references, because that's what it's about. And then they're at an ad agency, and it's crazy. It's all about the life, really, of Don Draper. And I want to spoil it all for everybody, but he's more than the man about town with crazy amounts of baggage that he's dropped along the way. Matt Johnson, our technical maestro, also shares a love for Mad Men. And this was a good season, I think, for that series, don't you, Matt?
Yeah, I definitely agree. There was a lot of plot twists and turns.
Drama.
And unexpected things that happened, I would say.
Yeah, and Don Draper is one of these guys. If you're a guy, you kind of, and he was your buddy, you kind of would love him. You'd be like, oh, he's doing it again, because he's messing around with women and he's getting himself in trouble and he's getting divorced and he's hooking up with this woman and he's doing this. But it was a symptom of the times and being in the environment of the ad world. And that's what I think they portray so brilliantly on this show, which is, by the way, on A&E. So Mad Men.
And apparently in the 60s, they didn't do a lot of work, but they did a hell of a lot of drinking.
Oh, and smoking. Oh, the smoking is so crazy. Now, you know, people are like pariahs in some places when they smoke. They have to stand out in the little corner. Or if you go to the Miami airport or some of the other airports where they have this smoking, like, I don't want to call them cages, but they almost look like cages to me. And all you see is, I mean, you could probably get your fill of cigarettes if you walked into them. And I noticed it in Miami. I noticed it in Charlotte. They have one, too. Because people are in between flights and they can't get all the way outside, so they just jump into these little smoking parlors, we'll call them. And that's what they show on Mad Men, the constant drinking, and he's right, it seems like they're never working. All right, this was very, very clever. In watching the Super Bowl last year, there was an ad. You know, we're always captivated by what ads are clever, what ads catch our attention, and what ads get the most buzz eventually. And the Snickers ad with Betty White really captivated the imagination. Take a listen to this.
Mike, what is your deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Jamie.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
And Betty White, because of that ad, not that she hadn't had a big career, but then suddenly she had this revival in her 80s, where she was hosting Saturday Night Live and done a bunch of movie cameos even more, and then he was even doing a television show as a result. Speaking of television, the late night wars, Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien, you know that we were heavily for Coco here on America Tonight, and we would play snippets of it, all of us, even if we didn't watch very much of the late night TV stuff, we were captivated by, wow, Conan O'Brien just cut off at the knees, thrown to the wolves, and what is he going to say next on TV, because he's still there and he's could be a loose cannon, what's he going to do? So here was what Jay Leno had to say about it when he was on Oprah, and then Conan O'Brien, some of his funny stuff.
If Conan numbers had been a little bit higher, I wouldn't even be an issue. But in show business, there's always somebody waiting in the wings.
Because if Conan's numbers had been higher, you would have never been asked to go back to take the time slot.
I never expected this to happen.
We had a lot of fun being here these last 7 months, but like everything in life, the fun has to come to an end a decade too early. And I think...
Yeah, and I would agree with his little joke there. He didn't really have much chance. Not even a full year to see what could happen. He didn't get the numbers that Leno had, but Leno had been there for such a long time. And Conan O'Brien was different fare for people who were used to Leno. And he's, I think, attracting a younger audience. Now we'll see what he does. He's on TBS. He's been there for more than a couple of weeks. And they're playing him up, certainly, with some of the funny commercials and whatnot. He started off with some big numbers. We'll see how that tapers off or how it rises through the years. Interesting stuff.